Tony Jones, your record now at Alcoa is what, big man? What's your record now at Alcoa after winning it last night?
We are now 27-4 and 26-1 in the state of Tennessee.
I want to choose to focus on that one today, Tony. What happened to the one? Tony, congratulations, man. That is a great story, what you've done at Alcoa this year.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Good to talk to you. You know, we were partners in crime this summer, but I had to go on to bigger and better things and leave you by the wayside.
Tony, there was no doubt. It was funny back in the summer. I turned to you, Tony, and I said, I hear you're in line for the Alcoa job, and you looked at me and you said, how in the world did you know that, Basile? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I'm always amazed by, you know, how you got one-upsmanship on everybody in the city of Knoxville.
Well,
as
I don't,
it relates
I,
to knowing the pulse of the sporting
I don't know
community.
I don't know about that. Talk to me here, Tone, about your ball club and your kids. Has this surprised you, this run?
You know what? Not a little bit, you know, because obviously, you know, a new system, a new coach, players trying to adjust to, you know, my personality and my philosophy on how to play the game. But the kids, all the credit goes to the young men. They've done a great job. They really bought in, and they're really playing hard. And, you know, we got a mix of some experienced players and some young players that I'm integrating into the system. And then it's bode well, and obviously that equation is equal success.
Tony, you started out in the high school ranks back in the day. How hard, after being in the college game all these years, has it been for you to go back and make that transition with guys that you can't expect to have the skill or the knowledge?
Yeah. You know what? I don't think I probably would have taken this job if I wouldn't have coached in high school prior. You know, I knew the pedestrian nature of high school kids and their mentality and makeup. And then to have coached 18 years collegiately, you're dealing with a little bit more mature individuals, you know, with a little bit higher expectations. Obviously, I coached at the highest level collegiately. And it's been a little of adjustment as it relates to, you know, the skill level. But when you get down to the nuts and bolts of the thing, it's still basketball. It's still growth and development. It's still forming technique and fundamentals. And these kids have been a joy to be around. And I'm really happy I made the decision to come here.
Make no mistake about it, the great Tony Jones is on with us right now. They've lost one game in the state of Tennessee. Tony, postseason-wise, you got some hardware last night. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You've got Pigeon Forge next, my friend. What is the ceiling for your basketball team? What are you guys thinking here?
Well, no one rises to low expectations, and at the beginning of the year, we set out to win six championships, and that was the Thanksgiving Day championship we were in, a Christmas holiday championship we were in, the regular season district championship, tournament championship, regional championship, and the state championship. We won three out of four already, obviously. We experienced some adversity down in Indiana, taking my team down there, some adverse situations. But, you know, those things didn't do nothing but help us. You know, the expectation is to win this regional championship and to win the state championship. And anything else would be a disappointment as far as I'm concerned and as far as the players are concerned. We have the wherewithal, we have the ability, and we have the talent to be able to attain those goals. We're going to need a little luck. We got to respect each and every opponent that we play against from now on, because from now on, it's one and done.
Tony, there's no doubt it's one and done, and you've been in these scenarios before. Basketball at that level, Tony, is it as unpredictable as it is at the collegiate level in terms of the one and done scenario, or at the high school level, is the better team going to win most times?
You know what? I think at the high school level, I think the better team usually is always going to win and advance. Obviously, when you get when you throw in the dynamic of a guy maybe has sprained his ankle in practice, or you get some foul trouble that happens in a particular game, that equation can come in and throw the whole dynamics and the philosophy of that out. However, I think it's a lot more parity collegiately than it is high school-wise. So I think the better team will win, and hopefully Alcoa will be the better team as far as, you know, these regional games is concerned. And then we're going to see what happens if we're able to qualify for the state tournament.
Hey, Tony, you had your Rosetta Stone, so I'm going to say this to you in Spanglish. Pardona mi ignorance. But when is the last time, Tony, that Alcoa was the furthest they've ever been in this tournament you're getting ready to walk into right now? What's the furthest Alcoa's ever been?
Well, the recent history, they haven't been to the state tournament since 2006. And so, you know, that's about a six-year span of just being in the tournament, being in the sub-state, and then getting to the quarterfinals. They haven't won a state championship in basketball since 1967. I mean, me and you don't have to be Einsteins to know that was a few years ago. The community is hungry for a basketball championship. The student body is hungry. These players are hungry, and the coach in place is hungry, and we're going to do everything in our power to bring that state crown back to the city of Alcoa.
You know what I love about you, Tone, is that you truly have a joy. There's a joy, there's a joyous nature to you about what you do with kids, and I know you got that from Sonny, your pop, that we've talked about.
Yeah,
now, listen, I'm giving him some love right now. Tony, I want you to mention some of these kids now who have had an impact on your ball club this year, who have had an impact on you this season at Alcoa. Name me some kids. I want some recognition now. I want some love from you to your basketball team.
Well, obviously, you know, we're led by Matt Schoen, a big 6'7" senior that's being recruited by the likes of Air Force and Army, Loyola, Chicago, a lot of Division IIs and a lot of Division III schools. Kenny Dean has probably been my most consistent player. He's on the football team. He's a junior. He'll be back playing again next year. And he's just been a stat stuffer for me. I mean, whether it's points, rebounds, assists, block shots, and things of that nature. You know, the heart and soul of our team is Hunter Ramsey, our starting point guard, who's just came back on the team this year after a year and a half hiatus just to play baseball. But he's seen, you know, what we had going on here, and he wanted to be a part of it, and he's the heart and soul. And then Trey Tate and Gabe Dango are some of our guards that at times have been really, really productive out there on the basketball floor. So, you know, I've got an experienced team, but, you know, I got a couple players such as Peyton Wall, quarterback on the football team, and Nico White, two sophomores that's added some depth and some flexibility to our rotation also.
Hey, Tone, I've seen you at a couple Tennessee basketball games this year.
Yep.
You know what? Those guys are your guys, man.
Yeah,
and you told me that.
I feel kind of an affinity for the volunteer basketball team. I recruited a majority of those players, and it's good to see. You know, I know Trey Golden is getting some criticism, but, you know, by and part, he's playing well. You know, he's playing well. And just to see Jaron Maimon have the type of impact he's had on the team is really good. You know, he's a guy that could have came in and made waves for us last year when he played behind Tobias Harris and Stephen Pearl, but he didn't, and I'm happy for him. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, why Gerard didn't do this last year? Well, he had to wait his turn, And if the previous staff was in place, Jarrod Manning would still be doing the things that he's doing right now. And then obviously, I really think the world of Skylar McBee. During my eight game cameo, when I was the head coach, Skylar really played well for me. He really played hard, and I'm really ecstatic about his success this year.
Tony, let me say this to you. I laughed at you on the air a couple times this year because you told me Jordan McRae was going to play pro ball. And I was thinking to myself, is he going to be in the USBL? Is he going to be playing for the, for the Ocean City Gales? Tony, this kid, the lights have come on for him. And I want your thoughts on the job at Konzo Martin, because that was not easy what those guys have done, much like you've done at the collegiate level. Give me your thoughts on the job Konzo Martin's done implementing his system with these guys.
I think Konzo has did a great job. I mean, he's came in with a mindset stating that if you don't play defense, you're not going to play. You know, his moniker has been play hard, you play smart, and you play tough and aggressive. And by and part, the kids have done that. Obviously, they had a couple early slip-ups against, Austin Peay and College of Charleston. But I've really been impressed on the way they played in the SEC. They've played competitively. They've played with a focus and a determination that's made me proud. And I'm glad that those players are experiencing some success. And let's hope the success continues. And let's hope it rides into a possible postseason invitation.
Well, San Antonio, I told him, I said, I see a lot of John Chaney in his approach because he wants to go out there and be tougher than everybody else. And you guys, your first couple years here, Tony, you did the same thing with that 94-foot game. You can break people's will on the half court in defense, and you can break their will as well playing 94 feet with them. And that's a pretty good way to overcome not having a preponderance of talent, isn't it, in hoops?
I agree with you. We started out that way playing 94 feet, controlled chaos. We kind of got away from it the last couple years. But what that system entails is that if you're better than your opponent, you're usually going to beat them because you're going to dictate the tempo. And if you don't have as much talent as your opponent, you're going to have an opportunity to stay in the game. And that's the way we've been playing over at Alcoa. 94
got
feet,
it.
Control, chaos. We really getting after people offensively and defensively. And that system has proved to be successful. And I'm sure if Bruce Pearl resurfaces, he'll implement that system again.
Why did you go away from that?
Well, because we did is we start looking at the prototype SEC wing guy, the prototype SEC interior player. And then we got trapped into a philosophy that we had to have a 6'7", 6'8" three man, a 6'6", 6'5" two guard, and big guys. Where when we were successful, I mean, we were successful all 6 years, but when we were really, really successful, we had Dane Bradshaw at 6'3" playing the four. We had Juwan Smith playing the three. We had Chris Lofton playing the two, and C.J. Watson or Ramar Smith or, guys like that. We were quick. We were fast. We were scrappy. We were aggressive. And we kind of got away from that because we wanted to kind of go the model of Kentucky. And we still were successful. I mean, in 2008, we were one free throw away from the Final Four with that type of size, with Scottie Hobson and J.P. Prince and Bobby Mays with Wayne Chisholm and Brian Williams. But it wasn't our philosophy. And obviously, the last year, we really hadn't done what we have done in the past, and that's a lot of the reasoning behind the change in the style of play.
I throw last year out, though, because that really wasn't, I mean, that wasn't fair to anybody. It wasn't fair to you. It wasn't fair, you know, it was. But here's the thing. When I think about you guys, I always think about the ride, the run, the great bus trips we had, the passion you have, and I know from talking to you, the passion you have for that game, the passion you have for this place, the passion Bruce Pearl has for this place. Now, one thing I think is interesting is, through the years, for whatever reason, and I want to ask you about this, when you're recruiting point guards, is that just about getting lucky? Because here's the reason I ask you that. There are so many guys that are highly ranked, right? And they end up at places and they don't work out. And yet a buddy of mine like Phil Martelli has a guy end up in his lap at St. Joe's, and they ride him all the way to a number one ranking in America several years back. We see at mid-major schools, they have great little point guards every once in a while, guys that nobody knows about in recruiting, and they just develop. Point guard recruiting, it seems like you guys were always trying to stop gaps, if you know what I mean. Like, let's grab the next guy, let's get a guy at a junior college. And I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just calling it like it is, Tone. Is it hard to find those guys?
I mean, it's very hard. Point guards and big guys are the hardest to integrate and hardest to find and integrate into your system. Obviously, you know, we thought we had a very good point guard and five-star guy in Ramar Smith. He didn't pan out. You know, he was talented, but he had, you know, other issues that really didn't coincide with him being successful. And then, you know, a lot of other guys start being stopgaps, you know, the Bobby Mays. And you know what? Bobby Mays had a good career. He had a decent two-year career. You know, the Melvin going, decent. But it really wasn't stellar. It really wasn't stellar. I mean, quite frankly, I think we made some mistakes on some guards that we should have took that we didn't take, like Tu Holloway. We had the opportunity. He wanted to come to Tennessee, and we didn't take him. You know, we had the opportunity, to get, the kid, from Savannah, Georgia, that's at Cincinnati. It's just being lucky and we weren't as lucky as we could have been, in with the point guard position. Obviously, Aaron Craft and Josh Shelby was a situation that I really don't want to go into. But,
Those
are also two guys that were on our radar that could have potentially been balls, but they weren't. And I think it hurt us. It hurt our overall development and for us to really do some special things at Tennessee.
San Antonio, that's why you're a good man, because you didn't get offended by my question. And people say, like, I had a guy here, he goes, some guy tweeted me, he goes, no Pearl bashing while you got Tony on the air. You know, look, Tony, you and I, we keep it real.
We always have.
You were right about McCray. You were absolutely right about McCray, what you told me. This guy's developing. And I've seen you at games this year, Tony. Let me ask you something. Is it hard for you, a year removed from that whole situation, not even a year removed. We're not even a year removed from it right now, from it coming to a head. And I saw you back in November at games. Has it been hard for you to walk into Thompson Bowling Arena and not being on that sideline? And do you feel odd? Do you feel funny? And then people are pointing to you and they're looking at you. And I know some people talk to you. Is that hard for you, Tony?
Well, you know what? Obviously, I'd be lying to you if I said it was easy. Especially the first game when I went, when the team played Pittsburgh. You know, it was an eerie feeling walking in there and not walking to the locker room and not walking to the sidelines and seeing some of the same players that you brought to the program there and not being with them. But after that first game, you know, the subsequent games I've gone to, it's been really good. You know, I'm at a great place in my mind, and I've been at that, you know, ever since, you know, the previous staff, was transitioned. And, I'm just there pulling for the guys that for the better part of most of their reasoning is because of me and Bruce Pearl, because they're there. And I'm going to see those guys through. And any opportunity I have to continue to go and watch them play, I'm going to do that. I'm going to cheer them on, and I'm going to be a volunteer fan and a volunteer faithful. You know, obviously, I got one daughter that's graduated from Tennessee and another daughter that's a junior up there, so I'm still writing checks to the university, so obviously I still must have an affinity for the program.
Tony, in the off season, will you come down here after you get through and cut your nets down, and you will? Are you going to, because the 94-foot game, I mean, come on. You guys went to Bearden and brought it. You've gone into some gyms and brought it at some people. Come on, talk to me. Tony, on the way out here, are you going to come on this show like you did last summer, break it down, talk some NBA, break down and talk some March Madness with us? Or are you going to continue to do those things with this program right here?
You know I am. You know I am. I don't forget. You know where my loyalty stands, and I'm a loyal individual, and whether it's one day a week or 2 days a week, I'm going to be on 1180, the ESPN affiliate with the best sports personality in the city of Knoxville, Tony B.
Tony, have a Doc Gooden. Good luck to you and your young men, and continue to do the good work out there at Alcoa. And remember, man, I just keep doing what you're doing. I love the fact that you are having a great time, and you sound like you're at peace in your life, and good for you, Tony.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Ronnie Boy. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right, bud.